Well, it was the homecoming event that was more than 12 years in the making. On Saturday morning, Chappelle Corby was finally free to leave Bali and return to her home on the Gold Coast. A free woman, but forever a convicted drug smuggler. Chappelle first made headlines, you'll recall, way back, October 2004 it was, when she was found with more than 4 kilograms of cannabis wrapped in plastic in her bodyboard bag at Denpasar Airport. At that point, I should tell you, 85% of Australians in surveys viewed her as having been set up. In May 2005, she was sentenced to 20 years jail. At that point, I might let you know, her support crashed. Despite the lack of any evidentiary smoking gun other than the cannabis. In May 2012, she was granted a 5-year sentence reduction. She was then released on parole in February 2014 after serving 9 years inside. And on Sunday morning, she returned to a dark but Australian morning in Brisbane. And you'd be forgiven for thinking that she was a member of the royal family or some kind of Hollywood superstar as she touched down. The sheer number of media was incredible. The measures her team went to for privacy, even more amazing. Like, who paid for the first-class virgin seats home that were only used as a decoy for media? Now, we still don't know Corby's exact location. A number of decoy cars were part of an elaborate and cunning departure from Brisbane Airport. And family and friends were seen coming and going from the family home. Apparently, she's celebrating at a hotel in the Gold Coast, who knows? And the only sight of what they're doing has come through the social media site Instagram, with Chappelle and her sister posting images of their first few hours in the Gold Coast. Tony Wilson is a close confidant of the Corby family. He spent time with Chappelle in that stinking jail and has recently released the book titled Chappelle Corby, The Final Chapter Coming Home. Peter, thank you for your time. Tony, thank you for your time.
Yes, good afternoon.
The sense of relief must be enormous amongst those who are close to her.
Exactly. It's been a long time coming, and for those like myself who believe she's innocent, well, we feel, of course, that she should never have been there in the first place. Mm. And, I mean, I sat through the trial, and I'm a very experienced police and court reporter, and there's no way that case would have ever found her guilty in Australia, because they had nothing. Everything they had was just circumstantial.
And it's interesting, if you go back to the
forensics.
Yeah, if you go back to the Cassie Bainsbury case, if you go back to Cassie Sainsbury's case and you look at what happened and who bought tickets for her, and et cetera, et cetera, there are a number of smoking guns that have already appeared after the first month. In Corby's case, there was nothing but circumstantial evidence.
Oh, that's it. I mean, even basic things like fingerprinting the bag that the marijuana was in was never done, and it was all destroyed. It was all burnt, so it could never be revisited.
Yeah.
So, honestly,
either stupid or deliberate, right? That's either stupid or deliberate.
Well, I couldn't tell you which, but they burnt everything. They even burnt the boogie board. I mean, it's just stupidity, that part of it.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was always partly driven by the madness of the media and the fact that to the Indonesians they were seen to lose face. And in Asia, that's a dire thing to happen. And it certainly put years on her sentence, I have no doubt.
I'm interested in one aspect of the way she made her way to Australia. Why was she so scared of being filmed? They went to enormous lengths to send the media on a wild goose chase on a Virgin Airlines plane while she actually went on a smaller carrier back to Brisbane. And she didn't want to be seen, and she was covering her face. We do know what she looks like. Why did she go to that degree?
It's hard to tell. I mean, she's been paranoid about the media from day one in the prison cell or in the police station cell. She was photographed incessantly. I mean, when she was at Grubber Khan, media outlets used to pay the guards to photograph her. They even were paid by a TV crew to get into her cell and photograph her meagre belongings and photographs and things. She's just never had any peace. Now, I know a prisoner is stripped of a lot of their rights, but she had nothing. And the media attention and attack on her and her family has just been relentless. So she's freaky about them totally. Mm. She's freaky about anyone staring at her or taking a photograph. I don't think you'll see much of her in public. I can't picture her going through the shopping centre in Brisbane or the Gold Coast where there'll be people pointing at her, whispering about her, looking at her, taking pictures with their cameras. She will not deal with that at all well. And I think that's why she went to such elaborate lengths. Some of the people that have interviewed me in the last couple of days have said, oh, yeah, she's done a media deal and they're protecting her. Well, that's possible, I guess, but under the Proceeds of Crime Act, it's got to be a pretty clever lawyer that's found a loophole because, she's not supposed to be able to make any profit from the use of her name whatsoever.
But that's a silly argument anyway, because even if people get photos of her in a plane somewhere, and we already had a photo of her in that in the airport itself just before she hopped on a plane, it's not like as if that will destroy anything she has to say in an interview or a magazine deal.
I think it's just more that she's really paranoid about the media, full stop. And Don't forget, this is a woman that has had mental health issues and is still on medication and has had a lot of problems while she spent those last few years in Grobbegan.
Yeah. Were you surprised to see a poster from the Where's William campaign as we search for William Tyrrell on the back of a handbag?
Yeah, it was a surprise to everybody, including the Tyrrell family. I mean, I don't know where that came from. And also on their luggage was some stuff relating to the ongoing foundation of Daniel Morecambe. And I don't know what's prompted any of that or whether they're going to start some sort of crusade about people who've been killed or disappeared, or I have no idea. It's quite unusual, I have to be honest.
I wonder whether she can ever live down what's happened, but I do wonder also, in the more short-term period, whether she'll do an interview to tell people exactly her side of the story.
Well, she may have to get the media off her back. It won't help her in public, as I've just described. But at the end of the day, it may well be that she doesn't have very much to tell. You know, she's maintained her innocence from go to woe.
Yeah.
And all she's done is sat in a prison for year after year. And I can tell you, as a journalist writing a book about that, it's difficult to write very much because the same thing happens day after day.
Yeah.
So the great tell-all story that people are waiting for from Chappelle, it may not really amount to very much at all. If she maintains her innocence, what else can she say?
It is true, Tony, and just correct me if I'm wrong, that if she'd have put a hand up, say, 5 years back or 7 years back after she first went to prison and said, I'm here to declare that I did traffic those drugs and I did it deliberately, that she would have been in line for some kind of royal clemency.
Yeah, they would definitely have let her out sooner, and she was told that. She was well aware of that, and she said to me on a few occasions, I'm not going to own up to something I didn't do. She used to say to me quite regularly, Tony, when will my innocence account for something? And I can tell you the first time she said it to me, and I'm a pretty tough old police reporter, I nearly burst into tears out of frustration because I didn't have an answer. I couldn't help her. No one could.
Mm. Will you be catching up, and have you been in contact at all since she returned home?
I haven't at the moment, but I hope to catch up when things settle down, wherever she may be. Yeah. At present, and we assume she's still in the Sofitel in Brisbane, she can't stay there forever, obviously. She's got to appear at either Mum's place or the family home at Tugan on the southern end of the Gold Coast at some stage. And and I hope, for her sake, try and get some peace and quiet in her life.
All right. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. All the best.
Thank you.
Good on you. Tony Wilson. Someone who has been close to the Corby family, is convinced of her innocence. And what has always dumbfounded me are three things. Why you'd take dope into a place where you can get dope cheaply, far cheaper than what it goes for here, and in a place that is so freely available to supply marijuana. And thirdly, if it was such a hellhole, and I can only suggest that it is a hellhole being cooped up in an Indonesian prison, why wouldn't she put a hand up and say, I did it, and obtain clemency? Those three things point to me that she may not have been as guilty as what Australians in the main think.